is Thursday, July 26, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, the U.S. Attorney General supports his deputy against a demand for impeachment. The United States and European Union avert a wider trade war. And singer Demi Lovato is hospitalized for a drug overdose. It's all ahead. U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions said Thursday he has confidence in his deputy, Rod Rosenstein, rebuffing the demands of a conservative bloc of Republican lawmakers that Rosenstein be impeached and removed from office. Sessions spoke at a Boston news conference.
My deputy, Rod Rosenstein, is highly capable. I have the highest confidence in him. You probably No, not only did he go to the Wharton School of Business, but graduated from Harvard right here in this area. So what I would like Congress to do is to focus on some of the legal challenges that are out there. We need Congress to deal with the immigration question. There are loopholes in our laws that are being exploited. We need to get them focused, and we're pleading with them to do so. Our job and our enforcement officers' jobs are far more difficult than they need to be. Common sense legislation can make a big difference. That's where I'd like to see them focus their time.
Sessions is the country's top law enforcement official and head of the Justice Department. He offered his support for Rosenstein a day after 11 Republicans in the House of Representatives launched an effort to impeach him, accusing the Deputy Attorney General of misconduct and failing to adequately share information related to the special counsel Robert Mueller's criminal probe of Russian influence in the 2016 presidential election. VOA's Justice correspondent Masood Farivar spoke with me about the significance of Sessions' praise of his deputy.
Well, anytime your boss says nice things about you is significant. But keep in mind that Rod Rosenstein is a presidential appointee and serves at the pleasure of the president. And the president has been highly critical of both Attorney Generals Jeff Sessions and Rod Rosenstein. So I don't know how much the Attorney General's words of confidence, vote of confidence in his deputy will carry weight.
There is an effort by some congressional Republicans to seek Rosenstein's impeachment. Why are they doing that?
Well, let's keep in mind who they are. You know, the articles of impeachment, the resolution introducing the articles of impeachment was introduced by two hard-right members of the Republican Party in the House. They're members of the so-called Freedom Caucus in the House. It's a small group of conservative Republicans who are closely allied to the president. And they're members of two committees, the Oversight Committee and the Judiciary Committee, that last fall launched an investigation into the actions of the Justice Department. And ever since, they have been in a fight with the Justice Department and the FBI over getting documents to conduct their investigation. So it's a fight over documents, and the House members are saying that the FBI and the DOJ are not cooperating. The Justice Department says that it has produced hundreds of thousands of pages of documents, and that's a very slow process. So it's part of that investigation, and they're saying that that the resolution says that Rod Rosenstein is actually obstructing congressional oversight of the Justice Department. And they're also accusing him of dereliction of duty.
And one of them, I believe Congressman Jim Jordan, has just indicated he wants to run to be the next House Speaker.
Well, Congressman Jim Jordan is one of the two co-sponsors of the resolution. He's been a sharp critic of the Justice Department, the FBI, and is a close ally of the president. And it serves as an attack dog, if you will, for the president in the House, in terms of criticizing the FBI and the DOJ over a number of investigations. But he's been embroiled in a separate scandal involving sexual abuse 2 decades ago at Ohio State University, where he used to be an assistant coach. So that's all kind of coming together.
Well, Congress is getting ready to go out on recess. So is there any likelihood that this impeachment will, you know, take place anytime soon?
I think most people think that there's a zero chance that this will come to fruition. Let's put things in perspective. A number of Democrats have introduced resolutions calling for the impeachment of the president. Those resolutions have gone nowhere. Any member of the House, in theory, can introduce a resolution calling for the impeachment of the president or other officials. But given that the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, has opposed this move, and importantly, the chairman of the two committees that are investigating the Justice Department, that is the Oversight Committee and the Judiciary Committee, have also come out in opposition to the resolution, I don't think it will go far or will come to a vote.
That's VOA Justice correspondent Masood Farivar. Here are some of the top news stories that are trending. Saudi Arabia's energy minister suspends oil shipments through Bab al-Mandab and the Red Sea. Pakistani politician Imran Khan declares victory in following the country's election. And the wildfire death toll in Greece hits 82. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on the voanews.com website. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
A huge dust storm has been raging on Mars since late this past spring. A new study published in the journal Nature Communications suggests that a good amount of the Martian dust comes from a mysterious geological formation called Medusae Fossae, located near the red planet's equator. Study authors made the link after they found that dust in the Martian atmosphere had the same ratio of sulfur to chlorine. Study co-author Kevin Lewis from the Johns Hopkins University in Maryland says that the red planet wouldn't be as dusty as it is if it weren't for the gradual erosion of the Medusae Fossae formation. Members of this Johns Hopkins team previously found that this formation was the result of violent volcanic eruptions that blasted fountains of hot ash, rock, and gas into the sky some 3 billion years ago. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, the United Nations has a new warning on climate change. The United States and European Union have averted for now an escalating trade dispute with an agreement reached Wednesday that puts new tariffs on hold and creates a high-level working group to work out differences. This is the result of a meeting at the White House between European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker and President Donald Trump, who spoke of a new phase in transatlantic relations.
A phase of close friendship, of strong trade relations in which both of us will win. The United States and the European Union together count for more than 830 million citizens and more than 50% of the global GDP. In other words, together we're more than 50% of trade. We want to further strengthen this trade relationship to the benefit of all American and European citizens. This is why we agreed today, first of all, to work together towards zero tariffs, zero non-tariff barriers, and zero subsidies on non-auto industrial goods.
Future discussions will seek to resolve U.S. tariffs on steel and aluminum imports and European duties. Europe will purchase U.S. liquefied natural gas and lower duties on American soybeans. The European Commission president said there will be no further tariffs while negotiations continue. The U.S. had threatened penalties on European auto imports. Speaking with International Edition's Victor Beatty, AMP Capital Chief Economist Shane Oliver in Sydney said he's not surprised global investors treated the development as good news.
So the fact that the two sides are talking, the fact that the Europeans are actually open to removing their tariffs on industrial goods and also trade barriers generally, I think you'd have to say is a very positive sign. Hopefully, if negotiations go well, because there is still a fair way to go on this one, it should head off at least a full-blown trade war between the US and Europe. So I'd have to say this is very good news, and that's why financial markets have reacted very positively.
Does the president have a point that Europe has erected some barriers that cause this not to be an open and free trade relationship?
He does and he doesn't. I guess when I look at the average tariffs that the US and Europe imposes, they're actually fairly similar. They work out at around 1.9% or around 2%. So they're fairly similar. Now, of course, Europe does impose a 10% tariff on US autos, but 85% of those exports are actually exempted because they contain European car parts. So if a US auto producer exports to Europe and that car contains a certain amount of European parts, then they find they have an exemption. So the 10% is the headline number, but most auto imports coming from the US to Europe actually are exempted from that. So in reality, the tariff barriers on that front are actually a lot less than President Trump has been claiming.
Do you see these talks at the White House between the Europeans and the Americans as a pattern that could be followed to resolve US-China tensions?
Hopefully they are, although I am conscious that there were talks between China and the US back in May. And subsequent to that, President Trump was extolling the benefits of that new deal with China. This is on May the 20th. But of course, that all fell apart later in May when the US announced that it would proceed with the tariffs on China and we're back to square one. But yeah, hopefully it will be a case of back to the negotiating table with China. I suspect at the moment, though, that both sides, the US and China, have dug in a little bit on that front. So whilst I think ultimately there will be a negotiated solution between the US and China, it's probably still several months away and may not even come till after the midterm elections in the US.
That's economist Shane Oliver in Sydney. President Trump turned to his Twitter account again Wednesday to complain about Chinese counter-tariffs targeting American farmers. He said China is doing so as a way to get me to continue allowing them to take advantage of the U.S. They're being vicious in what will be their failed attempt. Shane Oliver said China, responding to U.S. tariffs imposed over the trade imbalance, lack of market access, and intellectual property theft, responded by targeting states that voted for Mr. Trump in 2016. In a new warning, the UN's World Meteorological Organization says the world is becoming increasingly vulnerable to the impact of climate change. It says this phenomenon is due to many factors and is not occurring at the same rate or degree around the globe. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from WMO headquarters in Geneva.
Parts of the world are feeling the strain of record-breaking heat waves, drought, devastating floods, and raging wildfires. They are having a widespread impact on human health, agriculture, ecosystems, and infrastructure. The World Meteorological Organization reports climate change is influencing this trend in varying degrees. The chief of the WMO's World Weather Research Program, Paolo Ruti, says there's no discernible global pattern of climate change, but its impact is increasingly visible in certain areas, such as the Arctic.
We have seen wildfires in the Arctic, so there is a favoring conditions related to the fact that climate change is acting, so you are melting the permafrost, you have much more that vegetation that is available. You have sometimes you have stronger winds, so you have several factors.
Another interesting factor, he says, is a discernible increase in storms and lightning events, which also can trigger fires in the Arctic. He tells VOA that climate change in some places is happening faster than previously predicted.
It depends on what is your target, because if it is the Arctic, the answer is yes. So you see an acceleration of the melting in the recent 5-6 years.
WMO scientist Ruti notes this question needs to be put into context. He says what is happening in the Arctic regarding climate change would not apply to other global events such as sand or dust storms. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
This is VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Savor the flavor of African music. Hi, I'm Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Tune in, feast your ears, and dig in to an hour of amazing Pan-African music, featured interviews, and music news. Music Time in Africa, Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This is International Edition. Some sad news this week regarding a setback for a well-known pop star. VOA's Border Crossings host Larry London joins me with the details.
Today we're talking about Demi Lovato. We've got a song that came out just a few months ago from Demi Lovato we're going to play. But here's what we know so far. We're following this closely. 11:30 in the morning Tuesday, police were called to a house in California. And the report was a 25-year-old female had suffered an apparent drug overdose. And now we find that it was, in fact, Demi Lovato. And she is currently awake and with her family. That's the latest information we've received. There was a statement issued by her representatives that apparently they asked that incorrect information is being distributed right now. So they're asking for privacy, respect her privacy at this moment. The statement went on to say her recovery is the most important thing right now. Demi Lovato has suffered alcohol addictions, drug addictions for a number of years. She participated in a documentary about her own life called Complicated, which came out last year, in which she revealed at age 17 she was encouraged by some friends to try cocaine. She was a little scared to try it. She did, and she liked it. And she's had, you know, what's been an up-and-down ride for the last number of years. She's been in and out of rehab several times. And Demi's dad was also an alcoholic who battled mental health issues, just like his daughter. We're going to check out a song, and then I've got some more to talk about with regard to Demi Lovato. This song she recorded with Luis Fonsi, who gave us the big hit Despacito. It's called Echame La Culpa, which in English means blame me. So here's Demi Lovato and Luis Fonsi.
Hey, Fonsi.
Oh, no.
¿Qué pasa de mí?
Hey, yeah. Ay. Tengo en esta historia algo que confesar. Ya entendí muy bien qué fue lo que pasó. Y aunque duela tanto, tengo que aceptar que tú no eres la mala, que el malo soy yo.
No me conociste nunca de verdad. Ya se fue la magia que te enamoró. Y es que no quisiera estar en tu lugar, porque tu error solo fue conocerme.
Well, Larry, Demi Lovato, she certainly, as you were saying, has had a lot of challenges in recent years.
Yes, she has. It's been a difficult time for Demi Lovato. She's had a lot of inner demons. She announced not too long ago that she celebrated being sober for 6 years. She celebrated that fact. Shortly after the announcement that she had celebrated that, she then announced she had a setback, that she had taken a drink. And she went on stage. She has a song that's out that did very well for her called Sober, inspired by this battle she's dealt with alcoholism. And she cried when she apologized to her fans in attendance at the show that she had taken a drink and a setback. Now, if you're an alcoholic, you're not allowed to have even one drink, because an alcoholic is a disease that you battle for your entire life. So this is something that set her back, but Demi Lovato herself has had issues with drugs. She was on tour with the Jonas Brothers a number of years ago. She had to take herself off the tour. She was admitted for therapy, for rehab. She had cut herself. She had gotten in fights with people backstage. So she's had an explosive personality. She's been in show business ever since she was about 6 years old. She acted on a popular children's show with Selena Gomez called Barney and Friends. And then later on, she went on to star on the Disney Channel. She appeared in a film called Camp Rock with the Jonas Brothers. She dated Joe for a while. She had a relationship with actor Wilmer Valderrama that went on for about 6 years and ended in 2016. The whole industry is behind her right now. A lot of people are showing an outpour of love and expressing their concerns for her. Wilmer had posted that he was shocked and devastated. There's been messages coming in from Halsey, Ariana Grande, Bebe Rexha, Kehlani. Even Charlie Puth dedicated a song to Demi during a concert recently. Nick Jonas asked that everybody pray for her, and she's a fighter. She was scheduled to be on the Fox TV network this week to appear on a show called Shazam. She had previously taped that. They decided to not run that show. She had a concert scheduled in Atlantic City this week, obviously canceled. She's been on tour for her latest album, which is called Tell Me You Love Me. And we're going to wait and see how this all turns out for her, although we are pulling for her. Everybody loved Demi Lovato, and she was an inspiration. She was speaking out on behalf of mental health issues for young people. She was a role model. In her latest and last tweet, she posted on Monday late evening, the last tweet was a caption, a photo of herself with the caption that said, happy and free.
Well, hopefully she'll get the help she needs.
Absolutely. I know that they, you know, are asking that everybody give her some respect right now, concerned about some misinformation. New York Times reporting that maybe other drugs beyond heroin were involved in the situation. So it's an unfolding story, and I'm sure VOA News is following it, and we at Border Crossings are following it. But everybody in the music industry, all of her fans who are known as Lovatics, are all behind her, and they're pulling for her as well.
All right. Thanks a lot, Larry. That's Larry London. He's the host of VOA's Border Crossings. And that is our show. Please visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks so much for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
At a recent event in Jakarta, marking a significant milestone of the United States Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN, Development Partnership, the U.S. government and the ASEAN Secretariat reflected on the shared successes of the ASEAN-U.S. Partnership for Good Governance, Equitable and Sustainable Development and Security, known as the PROGRESS Program. Jointly funded by the United States Agency for International Development, or USAID, and the U.S. State Department, PROGRESS has helped advance ASEAN's vision of peaceful, stable, and prosperous Southeast Asia since 2013. The program collaborated with ASEAN to promote and protect human rights values, strengthen executive, legislative, and judiciary networks and the rule of law, and advance science-based policymaking, among other activities. PROGRESS supported ASEAN to develop guidelines and procedures for helping human trafficking victims, especially women and children, and preventing the further spread of trafficking. The program also strengthened ASEAN's ability to respond effectively when disasters such as tsunamis strike within the region and brought together youth from all 10 ASEAN member states to participate in engaging activities such as filmmaking and citizen journalism contests designed to strengthen a sense of the shared ASEAN identity. ASEAN-U.S. dialogue relations have continued to grow and strengthen, reaching tremendous heights manifested in the strong cooperation between ASEAN and the United States, noted Ambassador Dato Sharifa Nurhana Saeed Mustafa, permanent representative of Malaysia to ASEAN and country coordinator for ASEAN-U.S. dialogue relations. We greatly appreciate the assistance that the PROGRESS program has provided to ASEAN and the ASEAN Secretariat, particularly in the area of combating trafficking in persons, assisting in implementing projects of the ASEAN Intergovernmental Commission on Human Rights, and introducing a platform to support ASEAN in continuing its efforts toward a rules-based community, said Dato Lim Jok Hoi, the Secretary General of ASEAN. The success of the PROGRESS program demonstrates the strength of our partnership as well as our partners' dedication to strengthening ASEAN institutions, said U.S. Mission to ASEAN Chargé d'Affaires Piper Campbell. We are thrilled to see so many people gathered together to reflect on the success of the PROGRESS program and look forward to continuing to build on that program through its successor, the ASEAN-U.S. Partnership for Regional Optimization within the Political, Security, and Socio-Cultural Communities, or PROSPECT program, to foster a peaceful, integrated, and prosperous Southeast Asia.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.